Susan Seidelman arrived on the scene in 1982 with her film Smithereens, followed by Desperately Seeking Susan, starring Madonna. She's here to talk about her new film, Musical Cheers, that's been nominated for a GLAAD Media Award. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Charlotte.
Tell us about your movie, Musical Cheers.
Musical Cheers is a love story that's set against the backdrop of a wheelchair ballroom dance competition. And essentially the story of two New Yorkers from very different worlds, a young man named Armando who works as a waiter in the Bronx, and a woman named Mia who's from the Upper East Side and works as a dance instructor at a studio in Midtown Manhattan, and they meet through their love of dancing. Unfortunately, Mia gets in an accident that lands her in the hospital with a permanent spinal cord injury, and Armando decides to try to, in a way, to just make her feel better about herself. He hears about a ballroom wheelchair dance competition being held in New York, the first ever, and he decides to get her to compete in this competition along with some of the other residents of the rehab center. So essentially to try to get her to want to dance again, and one of whom is a transgender paraplegic who isn't really a dancer but decides to give it a shot. And that character is played by the actress Laverne Cox, who does an absolutely amazing scene-stealing job in the movie.
What inspired you to direct this film?
The thing that I liked about the script when I first read it was that I liked that it was about diversity. It was about cultural diversity and physical diversity, gender diversity, economic diversity, and that it was set in Manhattan. And, you know, Manhattan is a city that embraces all different kinds of people. I knew very little about ballroom dancing. The producer, Janet Karras, was a ballroom dance enthusiast and also very involved in the disabilities community, working with people who were in wheelchairs, lifelong wheelchair users. But the theme of overcoming the odds, no matter what those odds are, you know, we all have disabilities, physical, emotional, mental, whatever, and the idea of overcoming the odds is something that was very appealing to me. And to try to do that in a way that had some grit and humor and wasn't preachy or melodramatic, that was also important to me.
What was your reaction when you learned it was nominated for a GLAAD Media Award?
Well, I was thrilled because, to me, getting this GLAAD nomination was kind of a validation of Laverne Cox's work in the movie. She plays the transgender paraplegic, and she's a transgender actress. And I didn't want that character to come across in any stereotypical way. I just wanted her to be a full character. And that was one of the reasons that we actually went out of our way to hire a transgender actress, with the emphasis being on actress. I mean, she's really good. She's really funny and she's very real. So the fact that we got this award nomination, I think, was in large part due to her really multi-layered performance.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT equality?
Well, my commitment is on a couple of levels. Artistically, I've made a lot of films that have had gay characters, and I think that it's important to have all kinds of characters in your movie and have real characters, people who are, you know, flesh and blood and not caricatures, like, you know, sometimes you see in bad sitcoms. So artistically, it was validating and important. On a personal level, I am the stepmother of a lesbian daughter who I'm very supportive of her lifestyle, and she's just a great person. So I have a personal commitment to the community. And also, you know, even in terms of my family, my sister's an attorney who deals with gay couples. She's an adoption attorney to help them work their way through the massive red tape of an archaic legal system that makes it very hard for gay couples to adopt children. So, you know, I have a kind of family history of my connection to the gay community.
With gay marriage headed to the Supreme Court next month, a new poll shows that 59% of Americans believe that legally married gay couples should receive federal rights and protections. What's your spin on this?
Well, I think legally married couples should receive all rights and protection, and I think that it is about time that gay marriage was legalized nationally in all states. For example, I mentioned that my stepdaughter is gay and she lives in Atlanta. She would love to get married to her girlfriend in Atlanta, but she can't because Georgia doesn't accept gay marriage. So they're coming up to New York to City Hall to get married and then going back down to Atlanta to have their party. You know, it's ridiculous in this day and age that we don't have just one national law that covers all gay marriage, and that people that believe in marriage, conservative people that believe in marriage, should want everyone who wants to be married to be able to get married. So to me, that's just sort of good common sense. Families, I mean, I'm pro-family in the sense that, you know, everyone who wants to have a family, no matter what their sex, should be able to do so.
LGBT teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I guess the best advice would be that they should know that, A, they're not alone. They should find somebody to talk to. I mean, often when you're a teenager, you think the world is against you, but there are people out there who will help. Your parents, a teacher, a friend. But also to know that this will pass and that bullies are essentially cowards. That's why they're bullies. Bullying is cowardice. And they will go away. And to do something so drastic that you'll never get beyond, like suicide, there are alternatives.
How can people get information about Musical Chairs?
Musical Chairs will be coming out on VOD by the end of the year. So hopefully when they go on Netflix or on Time Warner On Demand, they'll see it up there. We're in the process of making a deal right now. And you can also go online to the Musical Chairs, the movie website, and you'll find information there about when it's coming out and also be able to watch the trailer.
What other projects are you working on?
I just finished editing a movie called The Hot Flashes, which is a middle-aged female basketball movie. It's a comedy, and it's essentially about a group of middle-aged women who live in small-town Texas, who used to be the girls' championship team back in 1980, and unfortunately one of their former teammates dies of breast cancer, and so they decide to reunite and challenge the current 18-year-old girls, high school champs, to a series of games to raise money for charity. And the movie stars Brooke Shields and Daryl Hannah, Wanda Sykes, Virginia Madsen, and Cameron Mannheim. And it was a lot of fun to make. And these girls were great basketball players. Some of them hadn't played basketball since high school. But we had 4 weeks of basketball training camp, and they got themselves into great shape, and they do all their own basketball work in the movie. We thought we were going to need to get sports doubles, but they were fantastic, especially Wanda. She was the shortest but the best player.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Well, I often get asked about being a female film director, especially starting out 30 years ago when I really had no role models. I could count the number of women back in the early 1980s who were directing movies on one hand, and most of them were European. So I really didn't have anyone to look up to. I mean, thankfully these days there are a lot more women directing movies, which is fantastic. But one of the things I often say to young women who are starting out wanting to be directors is that these days, especially because of all the new technology, the fact that cameras are more accessible and making movies are a lot cheaper, and now we have the internet, so there's a forum, there's a place where you can put your movies out there, that in order to be a film director, you just have to keep making movies and not let anyone stop you. One of the things that I've been lucky about and proud about is that I've been working for 30 years straight, which is something there's not a lot of women who have that kind of longevity. And it's because I believe in working, just keep working, even if it's on projects. You know, I've done little movies, I've done big movies, I've done little things for TV, I've done video clips. To me, it's just important as a female director to just stay in practice and keep working. And that would be sort of advice I'd give to this younger generation, because it's about time we had more women expressing their point of view on cinema.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Actually, my favorite quote is something that my mother told me around the time of Desperately Seeking Susan, which was a surprise success. No one expected it to kind of make the impact that it did back then. And she said to me, don't let success go to your head and don't let failure get to your heart. And to me, that was something that I repeat to myself when I've had success and when I've had failure, because it's really about just hanging in there and not letting how others perceive you affect who you really are.